16. I've enjoyed spending some time with Brother Braden and his sweet family. Got a meal with them and his in-laws, precious people. And the Lord's been good to the Bible Baptist Church in giving you a pastor, an assistant pastor that's of the cut and caliber of some of these choice servants of God. Book of Daniel, chapter number 5. And again, I'll take but one verse of scripture for our text, and it will be verse number 16. And I would invite you to stand with me as I read the Word of God. Daniel chapter 5 and verse number 16. And I've heard of thee that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and with a chain of gold about thy neck, and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom. It's a phrase in this verse that some time ago absolutely caught and captured my attention. It's that phrase, "and dissolve doubts." You see it? There it is, "and dissolve doubts." When we started our spring revival meeting on Sunday morning in the Sunday school hour, I spoke on the subject, "Let's revive in 2025. Sunday morning, the shadow is getting smaller. Sunday night, when the church gets a second win. Monday night, sometimes you have to be not the better, but the bigger Christian. Tuesday night, pointers from the pomegranate. Wednesday night, don't sell the farm. And if you were in the service last night, Thursday night, you know that I spoke on the subject, the blame game. But focusing our heart's attention on this small little phrase, "and dissolve doubts." For just a few moments, I want to speak to you on the subject tonight, the AKA, also known as "I Want Today." Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this privilege to stand behind a sacred desk to preach the Word of God. If I know my heart, I want to be a blessing. But the only way that I can be is if you hide me behind the cross and fill me with the Spirit. Place a hedge around this great church by the blood of Christ to keep the devil and his demons from hindering this service. Save the sinner and stir the saint. Heavenly Father, for all that you'll do in our midst and even in our hearts tonight, we will be careful to give you all the praise and honor and glory. Bless and protect my precious family as I'm away. Give us fresh, warm bread from the oven of heaven to feed from tonight. And Lord, I'd request, oh, how I would request that you'd clothe me in my calling. For we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. In every hour of Bible, world, and church history, God has had someone or even several someones that were considerable heroes and heroines. They were given monikers that matched their mission. Abraham was called the Friend of God. Winston Churchill was called the Bulldog. And Charles Haddon Spurgeon was called the Prince of Preachers. But in this present time, which is marked by the prevailing trend of so much faithlessness and faltering, my mind is made up to model a prophet of past times. The AKA, the also known as, I want today. In the book of Daniel, chapter 5, we find King Belshazzar's appeal to the prophet Daniel. Now, this chapter could be easily or effortlessly outlined like this. The ball, verse 1. The call, verses 2 through 4. Dare I say it? Oh, you know I dare. The wall, make America great again, verses 5 through 6. The call, verses 7 through 29. And then the fall, verses 30 through 31. It is while the prophet Daniel is dealing under the direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit with the call that a person hears echoing down the corridors of bygone centuries from a godless banqueting hall to a grotesque, morally bankrupt hour, an often unnoticed moniker for a man of God. Verse 16, and I've heard of thee that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts, and dissolve doubts, and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom. More times than not, Dr. Leithley, King Belshazzar's eternal statement about Brother Daniel, dissolve doubts, is missed because of the temporal swag bag that came with the interpretation of the monarch's dream. It basically means the removal of reservations. One Bible student now in heaven once wrote about our text, we live just now in a specifically doubting age. He went on to write, science puts everything in question and literature distills the questions, making an atmosphere of them. The cultivated and mature have doubts ingrown, they know not how. And younger minds, he closes his thought by writing, younger minds encounter their public visitations when they do not seek them. The sister verse of Daniel 5:16 is 1 Peter 3 and 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Never forget, the duty of the child of God in this dark hour is by their word, oh my, walk and work to be consistently putting not question marks, but exclamation points on their word, walk and work. If you miss everything that I preach tonight, I pray that you would not miss that. And it even bears repeating, the duty of the child of God in this dark hour is by their word, walk, and work to be consistently putting not question marks, but exclamation points on their word, walk, and work. Friend, you and I, those of us that are saved, need to know the DNA, which is the scriptural model that will give the AKA, which is the spiritual moniker of Brother Daniel of old. Now quickly tonight, there are five dynamics of Daniel's daily life that made him a dissolver of doubts. That ought to be our desire. That ought to be our dream. That ought to be their destination. that every one of us would get to the place in our Christian life where, like Daniel of old, we dissolve doubts. We dissolve doubts. We dissolve doubts. The AKA, the also known as, that I want today. Let's quickly notice it tonight. Number one, his consecration. Daniel 1:8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. A dynamic of Daniel's daily life that made him a dissolver of doubts was his consecration. In Daniel 1:8, God tells us that Daniel of old understood without question that when one devotes himself to the heavenly cause, it touches all areas of their life, dress, demeanor, destinations, delicacies, diet, and even drink. Dr. John R. Rice once wrote about this scene in the scripture. Daniel resolved to live a clean, godly life. And from what we can read in the scriptures, he appears for the most part to have achieved this. Most all the great men of the Bible had glaring faults recorded, but Dr. Rice wrote, none were recorded of Daniel. In other words, he may have lived in Babylonian captivity, but the Babylonian culture did not capture, oh my, or claim him. Is it any wonder that the songwriter would take the songwriter's pen and place upon songwriter's paper the soul-penetrating words, dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known. Friend, you and I need to know that DNA, which is the scriptural model that will give the AKA, which is the spiritual moniker, and dissolve doubts of Brother Daniel, is his consecration. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:15, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation. Mark it down. Don't think you'll make a difference till in every 24 hours of every day you're different and don't care who knows it. Now, I'm afraid that we've got some people that they want to be different, but they care if somebody knows that they're different. Pardon me while I preach for a moment. It doesn't work that way. If I'm going to dissolve doubts, and you're going to dissolve doubts, and we're going to dissolve doubts, then we've got to be different every day, but we cannot care who knows that we are different. There ought to be, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good, there ought to be a difference that is notable. There ought to be a difference that, yes, is noticeable. Look back at the text, Daniel 5:16, and dissolved doubts. And dissolved doubts. Daniel 5:16, and dissolved doubts. How did that happen? That happened because of his consecration. That was the spiritual moniker. But the spiritual moniker had to come from the scriptural model, and the scriptural model is the life of Daniel. His consecration. I read just the other day that many years ago now, musicians noted that errand boys, oh my, in a certain part of London all whistled out of tune as they went about their work. As it was talked about, someone suggested that it was because the bells of Westminster were slightly out of tune. Something had gone wrong with the chimes and they were discordant. The boys did not know that there was anything wrong with the peals, and quite unconsciously they had copied their pitch. Hey, child of God, our whistle had better always be out of tune with this world, because our whistle is to be there, attuned to a higher bell. and it's the bell of holiness that rings in heaven. Oh, I want to dissolve doubts, and I trust that you want to dissolve doubts. And if we're going to dissolve doubts, there has to be his consecration. Number two, and I know I'm going to get stuck here, his cooperation. Daniel 2:17, then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. Let me pause for station identification and tell you that was their real names. A dynamic of Daniel's daily life that made him a dissolver of doubts was his cooperation. In Daniel 2:17, God tells us that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego weren't just passing peers on a Bible page, but believable pals. In so much that when Daniel learns about King Nebuchadnezzar's dream that he couldn't recall, and how if the wise men of that day couldn't reveal it, they all would be pushing up daisies, he has a powwow at his place. The Holy Spirit gives us this truth with the pen of inspiration, and we see it on the page of preservation in two words, his companions. Friend, you and I need to know that the DNA, that's the scriptural model that will give the AKA, that's the spiritual moniker of Daniel of old, dissolved doubts, is Brother Daniel's cooperation. Now, there's several ways that God's people showcase their cooperation down at the house of God. And boy, if anybody ought to be cooperative in the work of God, I guess it ought to be a child of God. Amen. I think sometimes people have this idea that I'm going to go against the flow and I'm not going to be a team player and I'm not going to be one that cooperates. But friend, when it comes to the house of God, there are ways, preach on, Dr. Hamlin, preach on, that we showcase our cooperation. We've got a lot of people, a lot of church members that they want to be like Allen Iverson, but Allen Iverson never got an NBA championship ring, but Bill Laimbeer did. I guess it's kind of showing that I'm a Pistons fan. Go, Bad Boys, go. Friend, you and I, that's better than you're letting on. Friend, you and I need to know that the DNA that will give the AKA dissolved doubts of Brother Daniel is his cooperation. First of all, they draw the same enemies. Daniel 2:13, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. A way that God's people showcase their teamwork down at the house of God is they draw the same enemies. A biblical stand not only brings the right friends, but it brings the right foes too. Now I wonder about people that don't have any enemies. Now I'm not talking about being a jerk for Jesus. Hello? But I've got to wonder when you don't have any enemies. And you ought to wonder about me when I don't have any enemies. You see, it's just part of showcasing our cooperation down at the house of God. We'll draw the same enemies. You know, if you hate this King James Bible, you're not going to love Dr. Steve Lethley. You hate this King James Bible. You're not going to love John Hamlin. And I worry, I wonder, I wish to know where some stand who just don't have any enemies. Sounds like a library right there. They draw the same enemies. Secondly, they desire the same enablement. Daniel 2:18, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret. Oh, listen, God's people away, God's people showcase their teamwork down at the house of God as they desire the same enablement. No nobody serves God very long till they come to the place that they need both divine supply and strength. They desire the same enablement. And then thirdly, they demand the same end. Daniel 2:23, I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers. You see a way that God's people showcase their teamwork down at the church house is they demand the same end. The mission, oh my, is always the same: maximum glory for the master. It's not praise me, it's not praise you, it's not praise us, but it's praise him, praise him, praise him. Oh, that every single individual that was in this service tonight and watching by way of internet would realize the ways God's people showcase their teamwork down at the house of God as they draw the same enemies, they desire the same enablement, and they demand the same end. The great American and one of the founding fathers, Benjamin Franklin, once said, we must indeed all hang together, or most assuredly we shall all hang separately. Boy, look back at the text of Daniel 5:16. And dissolve doubts, and dissolve doubts, and dissolve doubts. Daniel 5:16. That was his, Brother Lately, that was his spiritual moniker that came by way of a scriptural model. And if we're going to follow that scriptural model, which is the life of Daniel, it's going to give us that spiritual moniker, the AKA, the also known as, and dissolve doubts. His cooperation, number three, his communication. Daniel 6:10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his household, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed. A dynamic of Daniel's daily life that made him a dissolver of doubts. What a phrase, Dr. Lethley. And dissolve doubts. And dissolve doubts. Boy, you and I ought to desire that when people come in contact with us, they leave with less doubts, not more doubts. And if we're going to have that scriptural moniker, then we got to have the spiritual model, and that's his communication. In Daniel 6:10, God tells us that jealous officials had King Darius sign a law forbidding prayer for 30 days with the aim of Daniel being the appetizer, main course, and dessert for the lions anxiously awaiting in their den. But Daniel would rather not live than to live without being in constant communication with his heavenly Father. Friend, you and I need to know that the DNA, that is the scriptural model that will give the AKA, which is the spiritual moniker of Brother Daniel, is his communication. Newsflash, you can get through your spiritual life without a cell phone, a laptop, an email address, and even without a social media platform, but you and I can't get through our spiritual life without walking with God on our knees. I'm not being harsh, God knows my heart. But here it is, 7:58. According to the clock on the back wall on a Friday night, and there are some that have yet to talk to their Heavenly Father outside of possibly and probably returning thanks over a meal. If we're going to dissolve doubts, we've got to have a prayer life. If we're going to dissolve doubts, we're going to have to be able to pick up the prayer phone and not get a busy signal. If we're going to dissolve doubts, then we're going to have to do most of our eternal work alone and in a prayer closet and on our knees. Dr. Leithley's heard me say this before, but every once in a while I like to see Brother Braden how my prayer life is. And I'll have something that I need to get from God, and I won't mention it to Mrs. Hamlin to pray. That's not that I don't need her prayer support, because I do. I desperately need it. But my brother, every once in a while, I want to know if I can get an answer to prayer. Every once in a while, I want to know if I can move heaven from my knees. Every once in a while, I want to be able to see if I can get something marked off on my prayer list. And I'll go to pray for something, and I won't mention it to my precious wife, for I need her prayer support. I'll every once in a while need something from God, and I won't mention it to my preacher friends. And boy, I believe I've got some in the service tonight. And boy, I need your prayer support. I need your prayer aid. I need your prayer help. But every once in a while, I'll just want to see if I can get something from God, and I won't even mention it to my preacher friends. I won't even mention it to our pastor, Dr. Wayne Halleck, who I know prays daily and many times a day for me. And it's not that I don't need his prayer help. Oh, I do. I desperately need it. But friend, every once in a while, I want to know that I can move heaven from my knees. And I would challenge you tonight. You ought to every once in a while ask God to do something, and don't put it in a social media post, and don't put it on a church prayer list, and don't even tell your own spouse about it. But just see if you can pray and move heaven. His communication. Number four, his continuation. Daniel 6:10, and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. The dynamic of Daniel's daily life that made him a dissolver of doubts was his continuation. In Daniel 6:10, God tells us that Daniel comprehended that the only thing that gave weight to his piety, to his purity, to his prayer, and to his praise, oh my, was his consistency. The four words, as he did aforetime, are the secret to every one of his spiritual successes. You go through the book of Daniel and you look at the life of Daniel, and my brother, every time you find a success, every time you find a victory, every time you find an achievement, we could just say the result of that is consistency. The result of that is consistency. The result of that is consistency. Boy, I've been preaching here at the Bible Baptist Church for a while now, and I can look around this auditorium and I can see people who through the years have pictured exactly what I'm trying to preach about tonight. There's a consistency. There's a consistency. There's a consistency. It was Dr. Bob Jones Sr. that once said that the greatest ability is dependability. Look at the text, Daniel 5:16, and dissolve doubts. And dissolve doubts. Daniel 5:16, and dissolve doubts. My brother had a preacher call me recently. He said, Dr. Hamlin, I lost track of you. He said, somebody just gave me your cell phone number. And he said, I just wanted to call and see if I might be able to book you for a meeting. He said, you may not even still be in evangelism. And boy, my heart, I was so thankful to be able to say, I'm still in evangelism. I've been saying recently, Mrs. Leithley, in my meetings, before I back off, back away, or back down from old-time religion, I'll start to give me the old-time religion Baptist church in my garage. And every time I say that, Mrs. Hamlin privately says to me, I'm for whatever you believe God wants you to do. I'll be right behind you. But I just wonder, where am I going to park my car if you're going to start to give me the old-time religion Baptist church in our garage? You know, I'm not interested in what you do with something that has a shine to it. Everything has a shine to it. Dr. Lethley, when you started the Bible Baptist Church, there was a shine to it. When I started on the Revival Road, there was a shine to it. Bible college students, when you went to Bible college, your freshman year, guess what? There's a shine to it. I'm not interested in what you do with something that has a shine. What I want to see is what you do when the shine comes off. And if you can put another shine where shine once was, that's what impresses me. And friend, that can't be done. Oh, preach on, Dr. Hammond, preach on. That can't be done. You know, this has bothered me all week long, and this is the last night, so I might as well say something about it. Are there ashes in here? I didn't know. All week long, I was trying to, just wondered, is there a cat in there? The remains of, back to the message. Anybody, don't sit there and act like that. You wondered the same thing I did. Anybody can take something with a shine, but what do you and I do when the shine is gone? And the ability to put a shine on something is when the shine is gone just simply means you've stayed at it. Faithfulness isn't measured by days. Faithfulness is measured by decades. His continuation. And the number four and last of all, my time's gone. I've got to tell you that I prepared this message altogether different than I've ever prepared a single message I've ever preached. You say, what do you mean? Well, and this is not a preaching class, so I won't bore you with those details, but every time I have a message, I try to outline it before I study it out. And of course, just in case there's haters out there, and there probably is, and for you haters, in Jesus' name. But not a preaching class, I won't bore you with details. But when I go to prepare a message, I usually have the outline already. And of course, the Holy Ghost can change that. Of course, it goes without saying. And so I pretty much have an outline, and I've got a general direction, Brother Lethley, that I know that I want to go. And absolutely, the Holy Ghost can change that. Absolutely. Goes without saying. But I know pretty much where I'm going to go and how I'm going to try to get there as I'm studying the message. But this message, I studied it totally different than any other message I've ever studied, ever prepared. I read the text, I defined the text, I studied the text, and then I looked at the life of Daniel and said, all right, how did Daniel make a difference? I read the book of Daniel and said, there it is. Number one is consecration. I wrote down Roman numeral one, his consecration. Studied that out. I got done with point number, now mind you, that is not, I've never prepared a message like this. This is the only one I've ever done that way. So I studied out point number one, his consecration. And then I said, okay, what's number two? So I looked back, Dr. Lethley, and read the book of Daniel, looked at the life of Daniel again, and reading the book of Daniel, looking at his life, I said, there it is. There it is, my brother, number two. His cooperation. Hello? And so I studied out number two, his cooperation, and then I went back. I had no clue what number three was going to be. I went back and looked at the life of Daniel and read it and studied it and said, there it is, number three, his communication. Studied that out. And then I got to number four. And I said, okay, now what would that be? And just looking at the life of Daniel, reading the life of Daniel, I said, okay, there it is. Wow, there it is. Bingo! By the way, that's the first time that's ever been said here in a long time. I said, number four, there it is. Number four, his continuation. So I studied that out. And then I looked at that And I hope I'll at least get one amen right here. I looked at that pretty little outline and looked back at the text and said, now wait a minute, and hold it, and dissolve doubts. Okay, you got to have consecration. Have to. Okay, dissolve doubts. You got to have cooperation. No one's going to dissolve doubts that can't be a team player at the house of God. Okay, so, all right. And then what was the, somebody help me, what's the third point? What? What was the third one? It's got to be consistency. Thank you, sir. I'm not sharing the love offering with you, but thank you for the help. His consistency. And, well, his communication, his consistency. You wanted to see if I knew that outline. I know what you're doing right there. And so, okay, we got his communication. That's prayer life. You can't make a difference. And Dr. Lethley, I'm looking at the text, okay? And dissolve doubts. Can't dissolve doubts without a prayer life. Can't do it. Can't do it. Can't do it. Can't do it. Okay? And then consistency. Got to have consistency. Can't be up and down and in and out and hot and cold. It's got to be that consistency. And then my brother, I looked and I said, now wait a minute, we got to have soul winning. Because nobody dissolves doubts without soul winning. And it was a pretty little outline. I mean, I was impressed. But we got to have soul winning. So my brother, I went ahead and read through the book of Daniel again and didn't see it. And I thought to myself, it's got to be there. I mean, you just really think we can't dissolve doubts without winning people to Christ. Got to be there. And I read through the book of Daniel, didn't see it. And I read through the book of Daniel, didn't see it. And I read through the book of Daniel, didn't see it. And I read again through the book of Daniel, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost put me in a headlock. Preachers, you ever been there? And basically said, hey, dum-dum, it's right here. Number five. And last of all, his constellation. Daniel 12:3, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. A dynamic of Daniel's daily life that made him a dissolver of doubts was his constellation. In Daniel 12:3, God tells us that Daniel of old comprehended that in the economy of eternity, the triune God puts an emphasis on evangelism and likens them that are engaged in evangelism, oh my, to the stars that sparkle like diamonds in the evening sky. Brother Daniel knew firsthand what the unknown poet was so aware of when he penned. Is there anything else that is better worth as a long life's way we plod than to find some wandering soul of earth and bring him home to God? I would rather find a soul that is lost and bring him home again than to own what all earth acres cost or all the wealth of men. Wouldn't I be glad when the day is done in breathing my latest breath to know some word of mine had won and saved a soul from death? Friend, you and I need to know that the DNA, that's the scriptural model that will give the AKA, that's the spiritual moniker, dissolver of doubts, Brother Daniel, is his constellation. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Don't miss this. The brightest stars aren't seen on new movie posters, but are those that show up for bus calling, support church-wide visitation and still carry, oh my, gospel tracts in their pockets and in their purses. My mentor, Dr. Tom Malone Sr., once said in my hearing, when you with God in your life are used to win a soul, you've done a greater work than creating a world or hanging a star in the sky. Look back at the text, Daniel 5, 16, and dissolve doubts. And dissolve doubts. Daniel 5 and 16, and dissolve doubts. What I love, Brother Braden, about this phrase is there's no age limit. Next Wednesday, I'll turn 64. And at 63, I can dissolve doubts. And at 64, I can dissolve doubts. And sir, whatever your age might be, young ladies, whatever your age might be, and whatever your age is right now, if you're a child of God, whoop, goes right there. You can be like Daniel of old, and I can be like Daniel of old, and all of us can be like Daniel of old and dissolve doubts. Because there's no age limit on dissolving doubts. I'm closing with this. Back in November of 2023, it would have been November 19th, had preached on a Sunday night at the Metro Baptist Church in Belleville, Michigan, at the start of the service, and they'd given me an order of service, and I'd gone to the platform, and on the order of service, it had a choir opener, and it had the pastor, Dr. John Vaprzan, who would do the welcome. And so the choir sang the opener. Dr. Vaprzan stepped to the pulpit to welcome the crowd, but when he got to the pulpit, it being the week of Thanksgiving, this was a Sunday night, Thanksgiving would have been Thursday of that week, instead of welcoming the crowd, he got up and he said, you know what we're going to do tonight? He said, I appreciate the choir opener. He said, but I want to know how long you've been saved. He said, so if you'd stand, just when I recognize you, you stand and you tell us how long that you've been saved. And so immediately there was a fella up in the balcony. He stood and Dr. Vaprzan called his name, said, Calvin, yes, you'll be first. And he stood and Calvin said, I've been saved for 75 years. Sat down. Now I'm behind Dr. Vaprzan, and I didn't know if I heard that correctly or not, but I thought I heard 75 years. Now I don't know about you, but I just don't bump into everybody everywhere that's been saved 75 years. That's 7 decades and a half. I mean, that's just, I bump into people saved, you know, 30 years, 40 years, 45 like me, 50, but 75, I can't really say, my brother, that I've bumped in a whole lot of people. So I thought, well, I want to make sure that what I heard was correct. And so when the service is over, man, I want to talk to Calvin, because I'd like to know if he really been saved 75 years. And sure enough, when that service was over, after I got done preaching, Calvin got to me before I could get to him, asked me to sign his Bible. And while I was signing his Bible, I said, Calvin, now I heard you up in the balcony, and I thought I heard you say you've been saved 75 years. Is that correct? He smiled like a jack-o'-lantern on Halloween. He said, yes, sir, been saved 75 years. I said, well, Calvin, you got to tell me about it. He said, well, he said, my mother was the church pianist. And he said, one day she was practicing with a quartet. We were down at the church. And he said, I was playing, and I was running up and down the hall. And all of a sudden, he said, all of a sudden, the pastor's door opened, and the pastor stepped out and said, Calvin, good to see you. I've been praying for you. Calvin, I'd like to talk to you for a moment. And the pastor invited me into his office. He never told me to sit down, just invited me in. And just as soon as I stepped into his office, he started to cry. And he said, Calvin, I've been praying for you, and I'm burdened for you. And Calvin, you have a soul, and that soul is going to spend somewhere in eternity. Now, I want you to hear me and hear me closely. You don't die like a dog. You don't die like a cat. You don't die like a goldfish. No, sir, no, ma'am. You have a soul, And that soul is going to spend eternity somewhere. Death is not an end. Death is an entrance. And it's either an entrance into heaven or it's an entrance into hell. And where you go when you die is determined by what you have done with the lovely Lord Jesus Christ, who hung crowned in thorns, robed in blood, hung between heaven and earth, and on that old rugged cross paid your sin debt with his precious blood that you could never in a million lifetimes pay yourself. He laid down his life. Hear me tonight. They didn't kill Jesus. Jesus is not a martyr. He's the Savior. He laid his life down. If he hadn't laid his life down, I say it reverently and respectfully, he'd still be on that cross. They didn't kill Jesus. He's not a martyr. He's the Savior. He laid his life down. And Aaron, as you wonderfully sang just a moment ago, he rose again from the grave. He arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose the victor from the dark domain. And he lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. And the gospel always has been and always will be the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't add good works. You don't add good deeds. You don't add pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps. You don't add the elements of communion. Gag me with a spoon. It's all the blood of Jesus. And if you're not trusting his blood, you'll sizzle like a sausage in hell. That's the gospel. Say, well, what if I become a Baptist? Well, if you become a Baptist and don't get saved, you just bust hell wide open a Baptist. Because it is not a religion. It is a relationship with the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. He said, Dr. Hamlin, my pastor, with tears in his eyes, wept over my soul and said, Calvin, you need to be saved. He said, right there in his office, I got down on my knees and I looked at an open Bible and I trusted Christ. And he said, it was 75 years ago. Stay with me. Now, I'm a preacher, and that's not an apology. I'm grateful to be a preacher. I'm glad to be a preacher. And because I'm a preacher, when he told me that his pastor had led him to Christ, every preacher in this room and watching right now by way of internet that's trying to steal a sermon for Sunday morning, you'd ask the very same thing I asked. Would I have known your preacher? He smiled again like a jack-o'-lantern on Halloween. He said, yes, sir. He said, aw. He said, you'd have known my pastor. He said, you'd have known the preacher that led me to Christ. Yes, sir. He said, you'd have known him. I said, well, Calvin, tell me who he was. He said, well, he said, my pastor happened to be Dr. W.G. Moorhead. He said, Dr. Hamlin, and I knew. He said, it was Dr. Moorhead that helped C.I. Schofield with the notes in the old Schofield Bible. I said, wow. I got home that night, and before I took off my dress hat, before I took off my dress scarf, before I took off my dress coat, when I came through the house, I went down in my study and I got my very first Bible, which was an old Schofield, not the new one. I wouldn't use the new one for a coffee cup coaster, the old one that didn't mess with the King James Bible. Say amen right there. I got that old Scofield Bible, and Dr. Lethley, I turned to that front page, and sure enough, there were two columns of names under the name of Dr. C.I. Scofield, and on that right corner at the top was the name Dr. W.G. Moorhead, and I circled, pulled my pen out, I circled it, and put the letters in the circle, P, period, S, period, standing for personal soul winner. Now watch this. Isn't it amazing that 75 years later, someone that helped with the notes, oh my, in the old Scofield Bible, wouldn't be remembered for telling a little boy, you see, there's a wheel inside of a wheel that spins around another wheel, that's in connection to a third wheel, that's by the... 75 years later, he wouldn't be remembered for telling a little boy, now, that Daniel's image, those wrinkles on the toes, by the way, I can help you with Bible prophecy. The wrinkles on the toes of Daniel's image, it just means they're old toes, that's what it means. When you got old toes, you got wrinkles, that's what it means. 75 years later, it wasn't any of that that was remembered, but the fact that he was a personal soul winner. Look at the text and dissolve doubts. And dissolve doubts. And dissolve doubts. You see, Daniel had that spiritual moniker, that's the AKA, because he was a scriptural model, which is the DNA that we have to dissolve doubts. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.